Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's Fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena, Penelope Noir.
Morena, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, I did, thanks.
Excellent stuff. What are we talking about on Fashion this morning?
Well, today I thought we'd talk about grunge.
Excellent.
Because we did Club Kids last week, so I thought it would be quite good.
Little segue.
In the 90s.
Because as you mentioned last week, kind of Club Kids sort of spawned a bit of grunge in some ways.
Yeah, kind of moved into that.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to go with the LA Times. They have a really good article called The Rise and Fall of Grunge, and it's described as rock music, or they kind of start off with the definition from the dictionary, which is rock music incorporating elements of punk and heavy metal, also the untidy working class fashions typical fans of grunge.
Untidy working class fashions.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of, the fashion is kind of defined by flannel shirts, torn jeans, combat boots, untied, unkempt hair, beanies, baggy, oversized clothes. I guess the bands, the pivotal bands, or the ones that became, crossed it over into the mainstream, were Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Soundgarden.
Got you.
I mean, there are a million more grunge bands like Mudhoney, but they don't kind of move so much into, you know. And it kind of started off with Sub Pop, a label, and they released, who were based in Seattle, they released a compilation in 1989, and they labelled it grunge, so it was a manufactured name that they made up.
And that's interesting, because that doesn't always happen when you get like quite often when it comes to genre or something like that, people don't like being labelled. But it's interesting that the record label is like, this is what this is.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was, you know, there's elements in the 60s that moved through, but this is where they kind of pivotally kind of went, right, this is grunge.
This is grunge.
Incidentally, I know this isn't fashion, but I just kind of wanted to mention this because I found this quite interesting, is that Bleach, Nirvana's first album, was recorded for $606.
Whoa.
And, you know, went on to make millions.
Yeah.
But they spent more money flying in a writer from Melody Maker from London to take it back to England.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So more money than the album cost to make. That's so funny.
Yeah. But I guess the fundamental thing about grunge fashion was that it was about thrift store clothes.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you know, people used to op shop in the 80s anyway, but I think the 90s kind of made it go, you know, explode.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And it was... you know, flannel and leatherette, kind of boho staples of secondhand attire. And it was kind of like cheap, durable, against the mainstream of the 80s aesthetic, which was quite glitzy. Basically it was because the musicians were so poor and they couldn't and they were unemployed, they couldn't afford it, so they needed to, you know, clothe themselves. So they'd just go and buy clothes from the op shop, and it was kind of baggy attire and that sort of thing.
And it's that kind of like, don't give to, you know, cares about anything kind of energy as well, a little bit.
Yeah,
eh?
Well, I guess it's where the slacker generation came from, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
As well. And of course, it moved into mainstream pretty quickly. Marc Jacobs was the first to incorporate it for his collection for Perry Ellis, and he was kind of dubbed the guru of grunge when he dressed his models in wool caps, unlaced combat boots, clashing prints and styles, unkempt hair, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Jacobs described grunge as a hippie romantic version of punk. But although he kind of was very heavily influenced, of course, the Perry Ellis flannel shirt that he released was actually washed silk.
Ooh,
yeah,
flash.
So quite fancy.
Quite
and there was like
fancy.
No polyester in that collection. It just looked like polyester.
That, you know, it's tacky on the outside, but very glamorous on the inside.
Yep.
Someone's texted in saying grunge was pretty much dressed like Neil Young.
Yeah.
Like everyone in Neil Young cosplay.
I mean, he's basically grunge, you know.
That's so interesting as well, because like he kind of straddles this weird in-between space of genre where he's like, the country stands love him, and then he's also like loved by all the noisy sort of like sonic youth adjacent people, and then he sort of sits in this grunge world too.
Yeah.
I watched a Cameron Crowe film in the weekend. Just not going to draw the line to the 24-hour film festival there at all, but there's also a big line between grunge aesthetic and returning war vets and surplus army stores and stuff.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Totally. But it's quite interesting how, you know, it's like no money, but it was described, grunge was described as being not anti-fashion but just unfashion.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess like the contrast to that, and one of the kind of key people that we're going to kind of go on to is Courtney Love from Hole, of course.
Yes.
And she kind of romanticised grunge. And she like, although maintained that unkempt look and that thrift store aesthetic, she was, like, going for the slip, the, like, silk slips over the lace bra. Most of the time they were sheer. So it was really kind of bringing underwear to the forefront for day wear.
Mm-hmm.
I actually remember her playing at the Big Day Out. And I'm pretty sure she was no underwear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Foot on the monitor at the front.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, a few people probably remember that.
A lot of air conditioning going on there.
Blimey. Blimey. So
she wore, yeah, black lace bras, docs, red lipstick, all kind of casually thrown together. It's quite funny because a lot of fashion science will say she accessorized with a cigarette. Kind of a fancy way of saying she smoked, but anyway.
All the time, yeah.
She wore, like, Mary Jane shoes and things like that. But, I mean, she is quite interesting because although she was in bands before she formed Hole in 1989,
yeah.
She was also an actor. So, like, her first film was Sid and Nancy, which is one of my favourite films. That came out in, like, 1986.
Yeah.
And she was one of the kind of groupie girls with Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked like Courtney then, you know. She was
so
obviously just born Courtney.
Yeah.
It's kind of described as Kinder Whore style, and it's like mixing. She's attributed to bringing lace to rock music, which I read about, but I don't agree with because, like, there's Stevie Nicks and everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I guess it's quite a different lace look, though.
You've got
Stevie's like the big witchy shawls and like as much clothing as possible.
Yeah,
she's like a big crow on the stage, whereas it's like a not a lot of clothing for Courtney.
Yeah, yeah, and she like there's some really good photos of her with like little sequined. Like hot pants on, and she also used to scrawl words on herself and stuff like that, like diva and whore and stuff like that.
Kinder Whore is such a horrific name.
I know, it's really weird, eh?
It's a really interesting concept for the idealized version of what femininity is.
Yeah.
Like, all right, everybody out there with you gays, you want me to be virginal and also a slut.
Yeah.
You want me to be like, look like I'm. Very, very young, but also behave like I'm not. So, yeah, trying to exist in that liminal space was inspirational to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I do love about her, is that she was a very strong person. And although I've kind of said, I'm not going to say, oh, well, yeah, no, I won't say that.
walking up to the edge of a thought.
She was a style icon right from the start, you know, when she emerged. She was a muse to Heidi Slimane and also Gina Versace. She was on the cover of Vanity Fair quite early on, like 1992, and Vogue Italia in 1997. And then, you know, she's kind of like matured since then and now wears designer clothes. But and she had a sale like maybe about 10, 15 years ago of her clothing, but she kept her grunge era clothing.
That's
she
cool.
sold his clothes from after that.
But grunge is her.
Yeah.
It was her moment, you know.
Yeah. And what I love about her is that everyone, if you say Courtney Love, you actually know what her style is.
Completely. Like, I can imagine her in my head almost like a cartoon. It's like she had such a caricature of herself, which I think is actually really clever because her whole look looks so almost unthought out.
Yeah.
But it's so iconic that I think is where, like, that's the rub. You know that she actually does know what she's doing because she's you know, she's honed it.
Yeah.
And she's made it look like she hasn't, which is very clever. It kind of also goes hand in hand with the Riot Girl thing as well. Like, they're different worlds and, like, overlapping eras, but there is a bit of a, like, fashion flavour that's shared between the two.
Yeah, and I do like the fact that she was very feminine. And her, you know, she was a strong woman. She was a feminist. Oh, she is a feminist, sorry. And, but she still was girly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just kind of think that's... I always thought she looked really cool. And, you know, as someone who grew up in those years, you know, we were all running around in slip dresses and duck boots and lipstick, you know.
And it's back. It's never really gone away, to be honest. It's kind of always been there in the fashion psyche as well. It's pretty iconic.
Yep.
In that vein, we're going to play some Hole, of course. This is Violet, which we were all just agreeing before. Probably my favourite song on that record, I think.
Big energy in this song.
Huge energy in this song. Turn it up. And if you're in the car, wind the windows down, do a bit of yelling. Yeah. Why not, I reckon?
Woohoo!
And the sky was made of amethyst, and all the stars were just like little fish. You should learn when to go.
That is Violet, of course, by Hole. Thank you very much to Penelope Noir.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.